My name is Garland Robinson.
Our lesson text is taken from Acts chapter 9, verses 4 to 6. Here we read of Saul of Tarsus. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Saul is first mentioned in the account of the death of Stephen, and we read back in Acts chapter 7 and verse 58. He not only participated in Stephen's death, but he was an instigator of many other such events as well. It is said of Saul that he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and haling men and women, committing them to prison. And just before the Lord appeared to him, it is written, And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. It is no wonder then that Jesus asked, Why do you persecute me? Christ and his church have always been opposed and very often persecuted. That was true 2,000 years ago, and it's true today. But why is that? One of the reasons for people persecuting the Lord or making havoc of the church, even as he died on the cross? Well, the reasons we find in the Bible are still relevant today. For what caused people then to oppose Christ and his church are the same reasons that people oppose it today. You know, some think it's strange that Jesus was not welcomed with open arms. But the Bible says he was despised and rejected of men. John 1:11 says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. One reason for their rejection of him is that they felt he was a threat to their religion. His warning in Mark 7 didn't set well with people that were prejudiced against him already. There he said, Laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men. And full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. Jesus taught in like manner on so many occasions, and so they paid 30 pieces of silver for him to be betrayed. They trumped up false witnesses to testify against him at his trial. They could not stand the Lord, and they found it so much easier to oppose him than to give up their traditions and to do what he said. The apostles likewise met with the same rejection. They were opposed and persecuted just like Jesus. And when they continued to preach Christ, after being warned by the Jewish council, they were arrested and brought to the council again. And we read in Acts 5:28, Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye fill Jerusalem with your doctrine. And again, false witnesses were used that time and to try to nullify the influence of the apostles. When the Jews in Antioch saw the Gentiles accepting the gospel they had rejected, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Accusation was made that the apostles taught people to rebel against the Roman rule. The metalworkers' union saw the gospel as a threat to their trade, and so they opposed it. Intellectuals at Athens were too sophisticated to accept the foolishness of the gospel, so Jesus sent the apostles out to preach, and they found opposition every step of the way. You know, today we proclaim the words of Jesus where he said, I will build my church. And we encourage people everywhere to be a part of that church which he purchased with his own blood. We read of Christ, he is the head of the body, the church. The church which is his body. There is one body. That one body, the church, is also the bride of Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 1:10 we read, Let there be no divisions among you. But when we preach that today, people cry out, You're attacking my religion. It's always seemed strange to me that one can attack the Bible. You can do that in print, you can do it on radio, television, and hardly anyone cares. But let somebody come up and say something against a denomination, and that denomination you can't even read of in the Bible, and oh, how there's a religious war started right there. It isn't difficult for anybody to read and understand that Christ wants all to be members of his church. But many persist in the man-made church in which they were brought up and to which they feel loyalty, never realizing the application of Mark 7 and verse 9 when it says, Full well do you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. We should be set for the defense of the gospel, brethren. But never should we be guilty of defending a religious movement that is authored by man. People sometimes make the claim, "Oh, you're too narrow-minded." And then we read where Jesus was not what the religious leaders of his day expected in a teacher. His teaching did not conform to theirs. He even had the audacity to tell them so. He said in John 5:39, "Search the Scriptures. They are they which testify me." The claims he made were too arrogant for them. "I'm the bread of life," Jesus said. "This is the bread which cometh down from heaven. I am come down from heaven, and I and my Father are one. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." It's because of these kind of claims and statements that people rejected him. They did not want him. He was a contradiction to their man-made religion. The apostles told the Jews in Acts 4 and verse 12, "There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Oh, that's too narrow-minded for people. But yet Jesus said that's the only right way. Oh, it was unpopular then, and it's unpopular today. Paul preached the gospel as the power of God and the salvation in Romans 1:16. And he showed that those who rejected the gospel rejected God's righteousness. The idea of there being only one way is not well accepted by people today that follow after their commandments and their traditions of men. We read in Acts 17 where Paul preached in Athens when he saw the whole city given over to idolatry. That subject in Athens would have been almost exactly like it is today. But yet the Bible says there is one body, and that one body is the church. The reaction was also about what it would be expected today. The apostles preached one way of salvation. There was no choice offered. Jesus said, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 3 and verse 16. The same Lord said, "Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16, 16. Some accept what he said in John 3, 16, but reject what he said in Mark 16, 16. Why do they do that? Because in their thinking, their mind, that's too narrow-minded to think that men must believe and be baptized in order to be saved. Did you know that all those people 1,900 years ago who wanted to be Christians did exactly what Mark 16, 16 says? We read it throughout the book of Acts. Every one of them obeyed the gospel by believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. And the Lord still asked, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" Luke 6, 46. If I insist that one be baptized into Jesus Christ, baptized into his death, just like Romans 6, 3 says, some will accuse me of being too narrow-minded. But that's exactly what the Lord taught. That's what he teaches now. That's what the apostles taught. Friend, there's only one gospel. And that gospel we read of in the New Testament, it is not denominated, it is not divided. It is in complete harmony and unity with all that the Bible teaches. But the problem is that people recognize the gospel demands change. It demands that we change from our old way and conform to the way of Christ. Well, first, we don't like to admit we've been wrong. And then often we don't like to admit someone else may be right. And then thirdly, we might claim, well, that's just too much trouble. Yet Jesus said, "Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish," Luke 13, 3. That demands change. We read about Nicodemus. You remember him being a ruler of the Jews described in John chapter 3? He acknowledged the fact that Jesus was a teacher come from God. He admitted that he needed to change, and so he asked the Lord, "What shall I do?" And Jesus told him that he must be born again, born of water and of the Spirit. We find later on where he was a follower of Jesus in John 19. He changed. Jesus gave the Great Commission. that the apostles and those who would obey him would go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But the Jews didn't want to change, and they opposed the Lord, and they persecuted the disciples. Saul as a Jew persecuted those who followed Jesus. But then later as a Christian, he suffered the persecution that he had dealt out to others. In preaching to the Gentiles, the same opposition was evident. The Jews called the followers of Christ a sect, a denomination, we might think of it in today's thinking, which implied that they were just another branch. But Paul denied it. He said, after the way which they call a sect, so serve I the God of our fathers. Friend, every follower of Christ of whom we read in the Bible had to change religions. The Jews had to turn from following Moses to following Jesus. The Gentiles had to turn from idols, unbelief, and immorality. They all had to change religions, and that's true today. People are often shocked today to think that they need to change religions. But the unbeliever must believe. One who has not obeyed the gospel must obey the gospel. One who has not repented must repent. One who refuses to confess faith in Christ must confess faith in Christ. One who denies baptism must be baptized in order to have their sins washed away. Those who are out of Christ must be baptized into Christ, as we read in Romans 6, verse 3, and Galatians 3, and verse 27. Becoming a child of God requires change. When one's a member of a denomination, a change is required. Denominationalism is based on division. Christ condemns it. It is opposite of unity and oneness in the Lord. Jesus prayed that they all may be one, John 17, verse 21. God commands, let there be no divisions among you. And then he asked the question, is Christ divided? Friend, no, Christ is not divided. There is one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God, Ephesians 4. And for anyone to deny that, not embrace that, is not going to be able to be rewarded by God in heaven. Friend, there must be change. A change from the world, a change from religion, a change toward the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way one can be saved. There must be a humble submission to the will of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There has to be that turning point from the old way to the new way. That requires belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, repentance of sins, confession of faith in Christ, and being baptized into water for the forgiveness of sins. Being then a new creature in Christ, we must live according to the pattern of the New Testament. For without such, we will not be able to see life. Thank you for listening today. My name is Garland Robinson.